Thanks for doing your part today to support public radio. Our next stop gets you close to the scene in Pamplona, Spain, where the annual San Fermín Festival includes the infamous running of the bulls through the streets of the city. Francisco Glaria has lived all his life in Pamplona, and he describes what it's really like from the vantage point of a nice, safe balcony overlooking the street, or, if you prefer, from just inches in front of a snorting bull on the crazy cobbled streets of Pamplona.
And suddenly, on July 6th at noon, as Hemingway said, everything changes. The city explodes. So the city changes from a village city to an international city, and it's fantastic.
People come in from all over the world. Describe the actual experience of the running of the bulls, which is just a couple of minutes out of the day, but what happens?
Well, so we have all of these crazy people running in front, wild animals. It's all around downtown in the city. There are some streets. And what happens is that we free six bulls, and you try to be in front of the bull. It's very difficult to be in front, because when we say in front, we really mean in front. To know that you're in front of a bull, you have to feel the breath of the bull on your pants. That's how close you have to
feel be. Feel the breath of the bull on your pants?
Yep.
As he's just sitting there eating some grass?
Well, he's not sitting, trust me.
He's moving out.
He's moving, and he has big, big horns. So that's what you really have to feel, and you feel it. It's such an incredible adrenaline
rush. So they get this...
A lot of surfers, they say it's like when you are on top of the wave, it's perfect moment, that's what happens.
So for 6 or 7 seconds, you could have the breath of the bull on your leg?
If you're lucky, you can go up to 8 seconds.
8 seconds.
So it's incredibly fast. So
adrenaline. Imagine the adrenaline.
It is an adrenaline rush. And it's terrible because it's like a drug addiction. Once you do it once, you have to do it again.
Now talk about who these guys are. What, mozos?
The mozos.
Mozos.
The mozos and the mozas now, the boys and the girls who run in front of the bulls, are the people who know how to run. What happens is that we have 1 million people in the city and you don't have to sign in. You jump in the middle of a street, you see a bull, and you run. That's the basic technique, which is quite scary.
But I've heard of, like, fraternity boys just getting drunk and going and running like a bunch of nuts. But you've actually got these mozos who are experts, famous.
Yeah.
They do it every year. They train.
Yeah, we call them divinos. The divinos, which means divines, are the ones who really know how to run. They train all year round just for the running of the bulls. And they know how to get in front of the bull, run those 8 seconds, and get out of the bull without, you know, disrupting the run of the other runner. So it is a very private moment, but you have to be good. You have to be a very powerful runner, but also you have to be a good person to run in front of a bull, because you have to help other runners, and that's great. And about the drunk people, if you're drunk, you're not allowed to run in front of a bull. If you're happy, you know what I mean. You're allowed. But there's a thin line between happy and drunkenness. So if you don't cross it, you're ready to run.
A mozo, the real professional, get into his head for me for a minute if you can. I mean, the gun sounds and you know the bulls are coming. You haven't seen them yet. What happens?
Time stops. You see a lot of people, but you don't listen anything. You get goosebumps. Your heart goes as fast as it can go. I mean, you can only hear your heart. It's like, kong, 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 kong. And suddenly that kong kong comes and you see that it's not your heart, it's the feet of the bull. And suddenly you say, if I'm not running, that bull is getting me. So you just explode and you start running. That is what a mozo has to do when they know how to run.
Let's get some more practical advice now on Travel with Rick Steves from more of our European friends. It's great to have friends who can help us navigate the various protocols that are part of the offering of a proper toast, the way they do it in their native countries. Our guests at the table are Roy Nichols from England, Dave Herline is an American who married into Danish culture, Stephen McPhillamy is an Irishman from Ulster, and Ferdinando Mengi is from Belgium. Roy Nichols in England, tell us a little etiquette for a visitor to England who might want to look like he knows what he's doing in a pub when he wants to toast to somebody.
Well, it's the ubiquitous cheers. That's what everybody does. That's really the only way of acknowledging other drinkers and your host, maybe.
And it's pretty hard to screw up then.
Oh, yes. Very straightforward.
Because in Denmark, Dave Herline, you can screw up.
It's very different in Denmark. In much of Scandinavia, you don't need to actually clink glasses. The host will say, skål. Everybody raises their glass, never higher than their eyebrow. You make quick yet meaningful eye contact with those around the table. You drink. After you drink, you lower your glass and give that quick yet meaningful eye contact again to make sure your neighbor's not getting too buzzed. And then you drop your glass to the table. So there's never any need to clink among Scandinavians.
And you drop your glass to the table?
Yes.
After you've drank?
After you've drank.
Okay, so we're all holding a beer here. Let's do this, Dave. Do us a Danish toast.
Yeah. So I would say skål.
Skål.
We each look at each other quickly and meaningfully.
Eye contact.
We drink.
You look too long. We drink.
Bring our glass below our eyes, and we look again at each other, make sure we're all doing all right. All right. Everybody doing good?
Yep.
Good.
All right.
And then the
glass
down
together. Yes. Now, that's the sort of conviviality, a community there around the beer. That
it is.
Probably goes back centuries.
Exactly, and it works especially well. I'm sure we've all been in that experience of being at a large table, especially, where it becomes awkward to reach over and clink everybody's glass.
Yeah.
The Scandinavians know, just make that quick contact with each other, and it's the same as clinking.
Stephen McCullough.
Well, in Ireland, we would say one word, just like the English would say cheers, we say slancha. S-L-A-I-N-T-E, and it basically translates as health. And in Scotland, they would say slánchéowá, you know, same thing, good health in your life. But we don't have this pressure of the eye contact. I've worked with Danish tourists and Germans over the years, and when I would give them a clink and I'd say cheer or slánchéowá, they would always say to me, you must have the eye contact. And I don't really like giving the eye contact. And in Ireland, we're not comfortable with the eye contact too much because it could start a fight.
It does strike me as being an Englishman where the system is a lot simpler. There's a serious waste of serious drinking time.
When you get waste around wondering about the eye contact. And
well, one of the German girls said to me, if you don't look in the eye, when you say cheers, you'll get 7 years bad sex.
That's what they say.
I said, I'm Irish. I've got a lifetime of bad sex ahead of me. But it seems to be the eye contact is vital, but definitely not in Ireland, and I doubt it in England as well, probably.
No, right? Not at all.
I think that Belgium is probably one of the few countries where we have a lot of words to say. Skål, cheers, chin chin, gezondheid, prost. We have about 10 ways to say, and the eye contact is coming into play right now. I mean, all more right. And more we say, and we picked it up from the Austrians.
The eye contact.
The eye contact. You cannot cheer to each other without looking in the eye because it's not meaningful and it's not meant.
And now chin chin is Italian, right?
Chin chin, yeah. But
it's going all over Europe. I think. Chin chin. But Stephen, when you say slancha in Ireland, that's Gaelic. If you said cheers in Ireland, isn't it more natural for you to, even if you don't speak Irish?
Yeah, you'd always say slancha. Up the north now, I mean, many people, of course, in our pubs in the north are divided by Protestant and Catholic, and therefore even the beer is sadly religiously
divided. So
you
go to a Protestant pub in Belfast.
All right, well,
would you say slancha?
No, you'd never say slancha, no.
No,
for fear of offending or for fear of getting the living daylights possibly beaten.
You'd say what Roy says in jolly old England.
Cheers, wow. Yeah.
Cheers.
But the interesting thing about Belfast, for any of your visitors who come to Ireland and they go to Belfast let's say they go into a pub that's classed as a Protestant pub, well, they're not going to get Guinness there either.
What are they going to get?
They're going to get either a local beer from Belfast, maybe Bass, or
is there a
Scottish beer, Tennent's or McEwan's.
So there's no stout?
Not really, no. They're more into their lagers.
So you Irish guys suffer through your stout just because it's Irish.
Yeah, but the thing is, I know some Protestant people in Belfast who regard Guinness as the Irish southern beer, the Catholic beer, yet Arthur Guinness was an Anglican, a Church of Ireland person, a very devout Protestant.
Guinness was a Protestant.
Yeah.
And it's the national drink of Catholic Ireland.
Yeah.
On Travel with Rick Steves, our aim is to explore the world thoughtfully with the aid of native-born guides, experts, and authors, people whose conversations really make the world come alive for us each week here on the radio. You don't hear us hyping the latest 4-star resorts or plugging the interests of the travel industry. You get plenty of that elsewhere. With this membership campaign, we're celebrating a service, not a charity, but a service called Public Radio. And the only thing we're pushing is a better understanding of our world. I like working here in public broadcasting because it's an environment where people respect the differences between cultures and where we look for and even celebrate the threads that pull us all together. When you listen to Public Radio, you're getting an education. And there's no tuition fee. But to make sure you and your neighbors can benefit from the free education you get right here listening to public radio every day, we're asking you to contribute now during this membership drive. Put a price on the value of the programming you enjoy here and call in your contribution while we're taking just a few minutes to ask for your support. It's actually fun to be part of the action right now. And when you call in, you're doing your part to guarantee that the bills are paid and that your community will continue to have this resource for everyone. A commercial-free resource available anytime at the click of the radio dial.
It's never been more important than right now to have a place on the air that respects your intelligence, assumes an attention span in a progressively more ADD-type media world, and brings you programming that equips and inspires us all to embrace life in all its beautiful diversity. Please, can we hear from you right now? Thank you.